It is such a joy to be here. Like Mark said, my name is James Elgin, and that's my wife Heather right there. And this is like my original small group that I grew up with, or they grew up with me rather. So, and they're here, so that's cool. You guys don't seem that interested about that part, but I am a youth pastor at Northgate Wesleyan Church. I also function as what you guys would call an elder here, because I know that Valley Church is an elder-led church. I kind of function as an elder also. And if you don't know what a Wesleyan is, it's basically a follower of Jesus that's really into social justice and really into women being pastors. And if you didn't care what a Wesleyan was, that is 15 seconds that you'll never get back. So I'm sorry about that. Really, the only thing that I really want to tell you about myself is I love Valley Church. I love this place so much. Not just this place, but its people. A lot of you, some of you I know, some of you I don't know, but my heart goes out to everyone in this church, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I grew up with Michael and Kenny. Michael was my best friend, and Kenny was there also, and we, and like Ken and Lori, they're like a family to me, and I love them and respect them so much, and they've done so much. Funnily enough, I had no idea that I was following Ken, who spoke last week, that nobody apparently knew about either, but Ken is actually the one who got me into ministry, one of the voices that spoke into my heart and spoke into my life and said, Jamie, because he calls me Jamie. Anybody, a lot of the older generation calls me Jamie. But he said, Jamie, when I was younger, I just wanted to be a youth pastor. And I looked at him and I thought, you can just want that? Like, I thought God had to open up the clouds and say, you, or something like that. But no, he just said, yeah, I just wanted to. So this church is so near and dear to my heart, so I'm so thankful that I get to serve you and Michael, who's home with baby, who's got a really strong middle name, by the way. It's James. Anyway, so I understand that you guys are going through a series in the book of Matthew. I'm so excited. It's one of my favorite books of the Bible. It really sparked in a passion of mine. So why don't we turn together in the book of Matthew, chapter 5. If you've got your Bibles, that'd be great. Where are your Bibles? Why do you have your phone? That is sin in your life. How many of you have got phones right now? Oh my! No, they all raised their hand. Oh my goodness, you guys. I'm so kidding. You can totally have your Bible on your phone. All right. Seriously, you guys can laugh. I'm sorry. I'm upbeat and I'm joking all the time, but I want us to get to know each other because, anyway. So, chapter 5, verse 13. Let's just dive right in. What I'm going to do is we'll read it all together, and then we'll go back and we'll kind of parse out some of the things that Jesus is doing because he's a genius. So, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Oh, I was supposed to give Julia a cue. Okay, she got it. Anyway, I'm reading the Bible now. So let's go back to verse 13. I want us to kind of take this very slow because one of the things that I was doing, Michael actually asked me to speak quite a few months ago, and I've been meditating on this verse a lot, and I really want us to see what Jesus is doing here, because Jesus talks a lot like the Old Testament reads. And what I mean by that is you kind of have to read it a couple times to understand it. If you're tracking with me, kind of nod your head. Yeah, Old Testament's hard to understand. Yeah, so is Jesus. Okay, so let's take this real slow. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Does anybody have another translation of saltiness there. Not salt, but saltiness. Does anybody? Anybody have a different translation? Maybe ESV? Huh? It's the same in the ESV. NASB? Anybody? Taste? Who said taste? Thank you. Thank you so much. Anybody have flavor? Flavor? That's the NET Bible. Anyway, one of the things, I looked at a few commentaries, and a lot of people that I've heard says the point of the salt back in that day was a preservative for the food to keep it fresh. I don't know if some of you might have heard that before. And I get that. That makes sense. But the purpose of the salt here seems to be its taste. So the question then is, that Jesus poses to us is, well, what if it loses its taste? We'll keep reading. He tells us, it's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Okay, Jesus, thank you for that. So we're starting to see the pattern here as we move on. Look at this verse verse 14. You are the light of the world. What Jesus is doing here is he's starting to rhyme his words. You see, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Nod your head if you're tracking with me. You see what Jesus is doing here. So not only is he rhyming his words, he's also building upon its meaning. So salt without taste is useless. You are the light of the world. A town, some of your translations might say city, built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. So here's what I think Jesus is saying. Let's go back to the salt. Salt can't lose its taste. Just like a city on a hill can't be hidden. Do you see that there? Are you tracking? Okay, I want to take this slow because Jesus can be very like full of riddles and kind of hard to understand. So I want us to make sure we get that. So much like salt can't lose its taste, a city can't be hidden on a hill. Neither, verse 15, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand in the same way, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So let me backtrack just a little bit. And I want us to make sure that we've got this. Salt without taste, it's ridiculous. That doesn't make sense. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. That's crazy. A light in a house does not get covered by a bowl. No, that's crazy. Now we're into where Jesus was going the whole time. Now he's talking about his disciples. If you just look up just a little bit, I want to read verse 1, and just so we can know who he's talking to, put a little bit of context into what we're talking about tonight. Verse 1, now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside. Remember that? Tuck that away. We're going to talk about that in a second. And sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. So what is he doing? He's teaching his disciples, those that would follow him. So now when he says the you, in the same way, let your light, rather, shine before others, and that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven, much like salt without taste is useless, light, or a city on a hill, rather, has to be seen, and light in a house cannot be covered, Jesus' disciples can't not be shown off to the rest of the world. Do you see what Jesus is saying here? Okay, so what I want to do, I want to backtrack just a little bit because we're thinking right now, we're thinking about the disciples that Jesus is talking to right now. So let's backtrack a little bit and see what this would have meant in their context. Because as we know, this is a passage, which is a part of a book. which is a part of a collection of books called the Gospels, which is a part of a really big book called the Bible, right? So we didn't just get here out of nowhere. There is much more to the Bible than just this passage. So turn with me, or go on your phone with me, to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. We're just going to do a few of these, and I want to look at this so that we can maybe see where Jesus is getting this idea from. Verse 26 in Genesis 1. Then God said, I'm sure you've heard this before, but then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. We get this idea in Genesis 1, where God creates humanity with a purpose. The very way in which he made humanity was made with a purpose, and he calls it this image of God. And the best explanation of the image of God that I've ever heard was from a man named David Libby. This was long ago. Some of you may know him. But he described it as an angled mirror, where God's light shines to the mirror and we, as his image, reflect his goodness back into the world. Does this make sense, what Jesus is saying about being the light of the world? Do you see that connection there? I've seen some head nods. You guys are getting it. Awesome. All right, let's go to Genesis 12 really quick. As quick as I can get there. Gosh. Bible. All right, Genesis 12, verse 1. You guys there? Good. Thank you. All right. Yahweh God had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on earth will be blessed through you." You guys seeing where I'm going with this? Well, it's not really where I'm going. It's where the Bible is going. There's this theme of humanity having a purpose. Moving forward in the scriptures, humanity always has a purpose. One more, Exodus 19. Exodus 19, and then we'll get back to our passage. Exodus 19, verse 5. And this is Yahweh talking to Moses. He says, "Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant," in other words, our agreement with each other. Oh, I lost my place, sorry. "Then out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." That word holy is very, very particular in Hebrew. It means to be set apart. And these words you are to speak to the Israelites. And that's what Moses spoke to the Israelites from Mount Sinai. Now turn it back to chapter 5, verse 1. "Now when Jesus saw the crowd, he went up on a mountainside." That is very, very on purpose. Matthew is trying to portray Jesus in a way that your alarm bells will be going off in your mind saying, "Oh, wow, this looks like a new Moses. This looks like a new authority figure." And what he says is very similar to Moses. This is not a new idea. This is something that would be very understandable for them to hear from Jesus. Let's read it one more time, starting in verse 14. "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives life to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So now the question is, where is Valley Church in all of this? Where is Valley Church in all of this? Well, let me read you this quote, because we know in verse 1, it says he sat down and his disciples came to him. People that follow Jesus, people that walk with Jesus, people that are with Jesus. I actually listened to your guys' podcast on discipleship, and it was amazing, and it spoke into my life. But that idea of discipleship is being with Jesus. And I have a quote here that I want to read to you. And with the idea of being a blessing to all nations, let's read this quote. If you have decided to follow Jesus, then you have become blessed. If you have chosen to pledge your allegiance, not to a flag, not to an idea, not to a country, but to a person, the person of King Jesus, not only are you blessed, but you are now the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Valley, I want you to know that you have a purpose. You have a purpose in Salem. You have a purpose in this world. With the salt analogy, Jesus is kind of making maybe possibly a little joke here and say he's so funny. But he's making a joke here saying, how can salt lose its taste? The punchline is, it doesn't. But salt without taste is useless and should be thrown out. Very much like a lamp in a house. This is a silly thing to look at. A lamp in a house with a bowl over it. It's dark, right? A church, a follower of Jesus, a human being that is not bearing this image of God, something is missing. Somebody who is hurting and feeling worthless, there's something missing. Jesus is trying to tell us something here. We have a purpose. As human beings and as followers of Jesus, we have a purpose. And that is for these good deeds. And that is to glorify our Father in heaven. So a few things that have come to my mind over the past, I don't know, month or so that I've been poring over this is something that I see as a pastor a lot is this idea or this spirit of just defeat in the students that I'm with, in the adults that I'm with in our church. And I'm wondering if this is just everywhere, but this defeat that tells us in our minds that we are worthless. Whether you call it depression, which can be brought on by circumstance or chemical imbalance, but it just robs us of our purpose, it robs us of our worth. And I want this passage to speak into our lives and say, you have a purpose. Saying you don't have a purpose is like saying salt has no taste. That's weird. That's, I would argue, crazy. So for you here, if you have that voice, if you're that person, I'm not saying you're crazy. Jesus is. you were supposed to laugh harder at that. No, you're not crazy. I was just kidding. But seriously, think about this. Think about your purpose. Think about this in the entire storyline of Scripture is all leading to Jesus. And what does he say? He says the very same thing that it says on page 1, you guys. You have a purpose here. Let's talk about good deeds really quick. Some of your translations might say good actions. But the light and the taste is then a metaphor for these good deeds. One of the things that I love the most about Valley Church is this idea of family. The family of believers. I love this idea, you guys. Oh, it spoke to me. I was listening to the podcast and I was just like, oh my gosh, this is so beautiful. It's so what Jesus wanted. These good actions, whether it's financial help or just being there for somebody. This morning, one of my friends, last Thursday, he lost his mom. And we were in worship and I went up to go do something outside or anything. And anyway, I was coming back to our sanctuary and he just came out and he just broke. And this guy's like in his 40s, like he just broke. And he was an old like army veteran, like this guy's tough, but he was just crushed because he lost his mother. And I remember he just came up to me and he just fell into my arms and I just held him awkwardly for like a minute and a half, and I said, I don't care how long this takes. I'm gonna hold this man until he lets go. These good actions or these good deeds is just about loving one another and being this family of believers. So don't let, my encouragement to you is this, and then we'll wrap up. My encouragement to you, one, is to not let these voices be your defeat. Let Jesus' words be your victory. In moments of self-doubt, am I in the right place? Am I doing it? Remember, Jesus is trying to tell you that you have a purpose. Let Jesus' words be your victory. Don't let your words be your defeat. Somebody write that down. Anyway, that was a good one. So, thank you for the laughs. I appreciate them. I also lost my place, so I'm kind of taking a minute here. I'll leave with this. For the things in this world that would seek to rob us of our purpose, my prayer is that we would trust Jesus to lift us and carry us forward. That's my heart for Valley Church. That's the word in which God has spoken to me through this passage, and I hope it speaks to you.